everyone. I'm your host, Britt Lawton, and welcome to the David Crit podcast, where we interview artists, printmakers, collaborators, and creatives within our community. Today we speak to Roxy Kaczmarek. Roxy is not only a practicing artist, but also actually works with us at the David Crit workshop. In her own artistic practice, she's focused on the relationship between humans and nature. After receiving a Bachelor of Fine Arts from University of Cape Town's Michaela School of Fine Art in 2012, Roxy worked at Warren Editions Print Studio as a printer and studio manager. She has also interned at the London Print Studio and Amsterdam's Graphisch Atelier. During a Master's in Technology Research at the University of Johannesburg in 2019, she experimented with etching, cement, and plaster combinations. Roxy has shifted her practice towards screen printing and has a functioning screen print studio at home. In this episode, we hear about Roxy's career in the arts, the experience gained from collaborating in different workshops, her inspiration from nature and environmental surroundings, teaching, working from a home studio, and so much more. I hope you enjoy this episode. Remember to get involved in the conversation online, subscribe to our channel, and check out more at davidcrit.com. Welcome to the David Crit podcast. It's awesome to have you with us, Rox.
Thanks.
It's not that you're a stranger to us, of course. You're part of the team here, so you're part of the family. But it's nice to actually talk to you a little bit about your artistic practice. Cool. So I think a good place to start would maybe to give us an overview of how you came to be an artist.
Sure. A difficult question to answer in a brief sentence, but I think art has always been part of my life. My mum is an artist and my dad's also an artist. My dad was a kite maker, he's now a ceramicist, he was a design manager for Spur Decor for a long time. My mom is a painter and teacher, land artist extraordinaire. So I come from quite a creative family. My sister is a designer and also an artist in her own right. And I've always grown up with friends around, my parents' friends are also very creative as well, ceramicists, musicians, etc. So I think from a very young age, I was always involved with art. It's always been part of my life. Color, paint, textures, even cooking, whatever it is, it's always been there. I think I got more serious about it when I had to leave high school and decide what I wanted to study. And I had this big fear of becoming an artist, a stereotypical idea of the poor artist. I was very worried about becoming that. But I went for it and I decided to study art and I discovered printmaking at university in my first year. And I discovered how technical and like cooking it was in a way, with recipes and science in some kind of way as well, which I really enjoyed. And the repetitive nature as well. So it just grabbed me and how like all the other mediums it is, how it harks to painting, to sculpture, to all sorts of, even photography. So it was really wonderful to discover this medium that could do everything. Mm. And I could play with everything.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you've just had this art background and growing up around creativity and stuff, which definitely influences the direction of your interest. So you've done all different kinds of mediums, or have you kind of zoned in on printmaking?
So during my studies, we had to do, from first year up, we had to do all the different mediums. So did photography, did sculpture, really enjoyed sculpture, almost majored in sculpture.
Where did you study?
At UCT at Michaela's. Yeah, I really enjoyed working with clay, really enjoyed working welding and wood. And I think I kind of still get that with the printmaking, which I quite like, the copper plates, wood carving. I mean, it's all still there. It's just on a kind of maybe a smaller micro level, a more delicate level as well. Painting, I was more maybe naturally drawn to painting because I've just done it for a lot longer, maybe more comfortable. But also felt like I had done it, so I didn't want to do it again. But was always quite jealous of the of the painters and because of the painting lecturers and how prolific painting is at Michaelis as well. And the painters that come out of there are usually quite top notch. But so are the printmakers. So.
No, absolutely. And then you've also, I mean, you've got a bit of a background in working at studios too. Mm. If you want to elaborate on that a bit.
So I worked during university. I worked for one of my mum's friends doing silkscreen printing, quite crafty, in her little garage setup. She would say, I need 20 doves in pink. And I would print her 20 doves in pink on these little piece strips of fabric, which would get sewn into beautiful bags and all sorts of things. So I did a little bit of that. My first maybe experience of servicing, as a technical service for printmaking. And then when I left university, I worked at Warren Editions in Cape Town with Janae Warren. And I think that's maybe where my love for material and trying to specialize and perfect things really started to grow under Janae Warren. She's a great teacher and really strives for perfection and an understanding of what you're doing. And we did a lot of etching and intaglio there, but also monotypes and relief as well. So I got a really nice broad exposure. I also, after about a year and a half of being at Warren Editions, I went overseas to Europe and spent a bit of time traveling for 3 months and spent some time at the Amsterdam's Graphisch Atelier for about a month, which is a print studio in Holland, in Sloterdijk, just outside Amsterdam. And that was my first exposure to an open studio, which I didn't really understand or know that they existed. So kind of started this journey of seeing how different studios work and different spaces work.
What's an open studio? What do you mean?
So Janae's studio and David Crutt's workshop are publishing spaces where we invite artists in and collaborate with them and work with them and publish their work. Whereas an open studio is simply a space open for artists to come in and rent and use. So yeah, the open studio is a space that's just open for artists to come in and use and make. So I really loved that idea. I loved this idea that you could, as a printer, come in. And then I spent some time at the London print studio in East London. I was there also for a month and spent some time helping. There was actually a South African girl working there that I made contact with, and I kind of interned alongside her, helped her with some lithography workshops. And yeah, that was super cool. It was amazing to see these open workshops thriving that had been like that for years. And I couldn't understand why they weren't like that here in South Africa. But it is simply a money thing. And if you don't have people coming in to rent the space, or if you don't have enough funding, then they can't really exist. So that was really interesting to experience and learn about all these different ways that people do things. It's not just one way. And then obviously coming to David Crutt, seeing a completely different way of how things work. This spread of education and collaboration and such a big team as well. That was quite amazing to see. When I worked with Janae, it was only Monet, myself, and Jan-Philip and Janet. So, and we would always have interns there, so it was wonderful to work with regularly with new people. But there was, so that's like 5 or 6 of us max at a time, and the artist in and out. Whereas David Crutt, you just have people galore, which is a totally different kind of way that things have to function, which is quite exciting, yeah.
I just wanted to know, like, what part of the process do you enjoy the most working at David Crutt Projects with the artists?
Yeah, it's hard to pin down one particular thing. I love seeing processes evolve. So when working with Julian Ross, master printer, and the other printers, Kim Lee and Sarah and Smorseni and Chad, you know, each person has a different flavor or way that they work, and as soon as you, and each artist does as well. So depending on the conversation and the mood of the day even, you know, or the person having that conversation, different things can start to shift and happen. And I just find it so exciting to see somebody walk in with one idea in their head and then adding in a couple of, it's like cooking, adding in a couple of different spices, and suddenly the whole flavor changes. So I find that really exciting, and I love seeing something develop and grow, you know, to become even better and more exciting. And that expression on an artist's face when they go, wow, I didn't know you could do that. Like, wow, this is amazing. Seeing the print come off the plate or whatever, that's always really exciting. And I found that with the students as well. Just started teaching at UJ again, their third course for the first year of printmakers. And I met with them for the first time yesterday. Because of lockdown, we haven't been able to meet at all. And it was just so cool to see them, you know, processing and cogs turning and things clicking and going, wow, okay, this could work, this could be cool. And then obviously the proof is in the pudding. You got to see what actually comes out.
You and all your baking analogies. You can see what's happening at the moment.
It's lockdown's fault. I've done a lot of baking.
Yeah. Well, actually, now that you've mentioned lockdown, I wanted to ask, I know you've got a home studio. Mm. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your process working at home and how that's affected your practice?
So lockdown was actually really hard. I couldn't make. I was trying every now and then. I'd pick up something and try to do some sketches and I guess some of them were okay, but I think it was really hard. The anxiety in general and the general feeling, it was really hard. And I think that took a big toll on me. But I did start doing The Artist Way. I'm about 10 chapters in, and it's been amazing to help me figure out my path a little bit and reconnect with that creative energy, I guess. I've done a lot of cooking and baking and being really creative with that. I've been doing a lot of gardening and being really creative with that. But I've still found it hard to get back into the studio and trying to figure out exactly what it is or why. But I'm slowly getting there. So I did do a project recently with Monet Fasahi, and that kind of got me all excited. And we recently finished Zulu's beautiful silk screen, so that also has been getting me a bit more inspired to put some ink on paper. So we'll see how it goes.
Do you enjoy working at home a bit, like the space, the environment?
I love working at home. I'm very lucky to have a lovely garden and my three dogs, so it's definitely comfortable, and I'm very lucky to have this garage studio space that has taken great shape over lockdown, with time to be able to work on it and develop it. And then just to go back to that making, I think part of my issue with the lockdown and making is I draw a lot of inspiration from things I see and traversing the city, and that stopped, which was possibly the reason why the flow stopped as well.
Mm.
But now I'm moving again and I'm gathering inspiration and experience from moving through the city.
Mm.
So maybe.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, your subject matter touches on like cityscapes and landscapes and that kind of, binary opposition between them and how we interact with them. Do you want to elaborate a little bit more on that subject matter?
Sure. So it's a fascination that kind of, I mean, I've always been interested and fascinated with plants and growing. And if I look back at my work over the years, and even as a child, I was always drawing plants.
That's so cool.
Which is so interesting. I recently joined the TPGs, the Printing Girls, and one of my previous lecturers was in a Zoom conversation we had, Natasha Norman, and she brought up, and I'd completely forgotten about it. I think it was in my third year, I did a performance piece where it was a part of a performance art course where I stood when Nelson Mandela gave a speech at City Hall, and I had a loudhailer, and I gave a speech to the pine trees on the promenade, talking to them in Italian, because they're Italian stone pine trees. And I'd completely forgotten that I'd done this like ridiculous thing. But I was talking to them saying, like, why are you here? What are you doing? You're supposed to be in Italy, you know, you're Italian stone pines. Are you okay being here? Is it all right? They also draw a lot of water, and it's not a water-wise plant to be planting, but they're beautiful as well and kind of quite iconic.
There's
all these little steps along the way that have always been quite environmentally or landscape orientated. And I remember in university trying to come up with these like heavy concepts, you know, to be this prolific artist. And all I wanted to do was paint landscapes. So it's really exciting that I've kind of taken the journey to be able to figure out that. And coming to Johannesburg, I think, cemented that even more. Coming to a city that is possibly one of the largest man-made forests in the world, which is bizarre. And then also this totally shift in climate from Cape Town, which is the wet winters and hot dry summers, swapping that around, subtropical-ish, I guess. And the clouds, everything's so different. There's no mountain, there's no sea, and there's so much city and people. And then what really just like got me was how people and nature just like smashed together and have created this crazy environment. of growing all these plants, but then also growing all these buildings, and the mix of cement and plants all just mashed together. Yeah, it's been really interesting to see that. And I think slowly as I've been going along this journey, looking at what little bits of these things have popped up. So how people grow plants in their gardens and along their fence lines to like as this act of security has really fascinated me maybe in the last 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, and you've got a really beautiful work at the moment that's on Turbine Art
Fair
that speaks to that.
Yeah.
It's called Fenced In, Fenced Out.
So Fenced In and Fenced Out, yeah. Just this walk that I do with my dogs every day is along this fence line that goes down to the Spreit, which could be this beautiful river as well, but it's just full with rubbish. So, and along that fence line, it's like this, it's like the border of the neighborhood where it's barbed wire, electric fences, and people still get in and break in, and you know, lights and alarms and cameras, and then these plants are just like slowly growing and taking over these like these crazy barbed fences. I just find that fascinating. They're just like, don't give a shit about what you're trying to do. They just carry around.
No, it's like this resilience of nature, yeah. I suppose, through all of this, which is kind of, in a way, you can create a metaphor of this year and how, you know, it's such a challenging year. We're doing it at the backdrop of COVID and all the pressures and stuff, but people are resilient. So let's see what comes out.
And
of
they
it.
Do. We do. We just keep changing and growing as well. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. And then recently I've started looking a lot at fires. And because that's something that happens in Johannesburg, which happens in Cape Town as well in summer, but here it happens more in winter when the fires burn and the grasses get completely like burnt down to a crisp.
Blackened,
and then growth starts again as the rains come, which is so beautiful. I haven't quite figured out like why I'm fascinated by this or what it is or what the point is, but maybe it has something to do with that regrowth and that fresh start. And again, resilience, because what happens when the grass gets burnt is its natural instinct is to shoot. So if you leave grasses long, they will just keep growing and they'll grow, but quite slowly. But if you cut them or you burn them, their instinct is immediately, the response is to grow, to shoot, to grow as quickly as possible before the other trees get big enough to cast shade. So it's kind of this like survival of the fittest kind of thing. So they've got to get big enough to be able to create food for their roots so they survive and can drop seeds before the trees get too big that then cast shade and they can't actually get their light.
And your knowledge, like your knowledge of plants and vegetation, has that just been something that's come from your research? Is it a passion of yours?
I think it comes from my mum. She's a keen gardener and green thumb. And I was actually chatting to her this morning on WhatsApp about plants in the garden.
Cute mom.
it kind of happened maybe more as I got older that I got really into it. And then I've just got some friends who are also scientists or in horticulture or whatever that I can ask questions to. And yeah, I think it's also really encouraging to nurture and look after something and then see it blossom and grow. There's something, and the slowness of it as well. You can't rush it. Mm. I've been waiting all winter for the rains because I'm so excited for things to get a little bit wet and a little bit warm so that they can start to blossom and grow. But you can't rush it.
you know?
There's nothing you can do. So.
But I mean, I can be a testament to, I've seen your garden, it's incredible. So I think if anyone follows you on Instagram, we'll put all the links in the bio and stuff. But I mean, you've got a very impressive garden. So your care about it and your understanding of that process in nature shows, which is really cool. And then the fact that it's your subject matter is also, you know, awesome. And then also you've actually, just to circle back a bit, you've spoken about cement and how you've used that as a material. Maybe talk about firstly process and how that process of using that material came in.
Sure. Yeah. So I think that element came about during my master's, which I did 2018. I started my master's at the University of Johannesburg under Kim Berman and Vedant Nanashant. Yeah, in an attempt to kind of fit in again with that sculptural part of printmaking and that physicality and experimenting with materials and to not just have print on paper, I started experimenting with, again, that binary of the city and the plant. And the city for me was very much a cement element. Yeah, so I guess the paper is the plants as well, which is quite interesting. And so started doing these landscapes and these strange scenes that I'd come upon on the city and using cement as a medium to help depict that. So monotypes with cement, as well as painting the back of canvases with a thick layer of cement, kind of impasto, mixing it into the paint as well, to then show these plants made out of cement in some kind of way. And then as well as what we have here, the which we were looking at a bit earlier, the casting an etching plate into a cement plaster mix. Unfortunately, you can't just do the cement. It doesn't take completely to cement, so you need the plaster to help transfer the ink. Yeah, happened upon this crazy video on YouTube of how it works, and tried it out, and kind of looked really interesting. So it went along this path of, instead of printing etchings and intaglio as traditionally onto paper, making them into these objects and sculptures in a way.
I think there's so much to it, just because of like the quality of the material and the kind of symbolic nature of it as well. That all plays into what you know, what your concepts are, which is awesome. Isn't it quite a challenging material as well in terms of like doing printmaking?
And you know, it's quite forgiving in a way, because it's almost like a pigment. Just like pigments are usually dry, when I use it in monotype, I mix it in with a gum arabic as if you were making a watercolor and kind of print like that. It is obviously a lot thicker and grainier in its texture, but it does have that staining ability. and then with the sculpture, with these etchings, I guess it's just got that thick kind of cemented plastered feeling. So it's
but I mean, even with these etchings, you managed to make it look quite delicate and fragile, which it is as well. So but I just wondered, like with your silk screens too, fenced in, fenced out, like it doesn't affect the mesh in any way?
No, so I hand painted those at the back. So again, using that actually for those I used a bit of an acrylic. You need a medium to help hold it and spread it like a binder. So I used a bit of acrylic water and the cement, and then when you print on top of it, it does, I guess, resist the ink a little bit, but that, well, I like that. It adds to that texture. Doesn't have to be too clean for me.
Awesome. So I mean, that affects your color palettes. You've got quite a distinct color palette. You can recognize your work, you know, not only with your gestures and mark making, but with the kind of gray and blue hues that you use. Is that
I don't know why, but I'm still trying to figure it out. It's my favorite color. I'm drawn to it. I haven't quite figured out why I use blue in everything, but I do. And I've written a little bit about it in my thesis that I did when I was trying to figure it out then. And I'm still not exactly sure why. Why is it my favorite color? I don't know. Why is it a color that I'm drawn to? Why do I want to depict all of these landscapes and images in this color? I'm not sure.
Well, let's see if maybe this new fired up inspiration gives you a change of color.
Yeah, so that's been interesting as well, because of the charcoal nature of the fires that are happening. And I've kind of been adding these splashes of color with chalk pastels.
Are these drawings or paintings?
These are paintings that I've recently done a couple of.
Awesome.
And I'm working on a new series at the moment. So yeah, we'll see. They still seem to be quite muted and blue in hue, but they have these little splashes of color that keep coming through, which I think are quite fun.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. It's also exciting to know that you've got like some new work coming up.
Cool.
And do you, like, if people want to know more about you, do you have a website or social media?
You can follow me on Instagram. Website's on the way.
Yeah, we'll have all of that on your page, of course.
Cool. Yeah, thanks.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure.
Yeah, and we look forward to seeing your new work coming up soon.
Cool. Thanks, Britt.